Hey, it's good to have you here today. You know, our stated mission is to help people fall in love with Jesus. So we hope that you're here today to experience Him in a really a really neat way. If you're here for the very first time, this is a good time to jump in because we're just starting. It's just a two-week kind of teaching that we're going to look at before we get into our, believe it or not, it's almost Christmas time. So we're going to get into the Advent season, talking about all that, and that's always a fun time here at First Church. So next couple weeks, we're going to talk about what God loves, that's today, and next week I'm going to teach you about what God hates. What God loves, what God hates, what God loves, what, how about us? Can you make a list of things that you love and hate? It's even hard to use that word, isn't it? I always think, you know, things that I love, things that I despise. No, there's things we love, things we hate. You know, for example, like I love dogs. Specifically, I love my dog, okay? I hate cats. I'm sorry. It's just me. You know, I this is just my feeling. I think I can back it up with Scripture. Dogs go to heaven. Cats don't, okay? I'm sorry. You know, we've had several cats in our family. They've all been demon-possessed. I'm serious. You know, matter of fact, somebody posted not long ago, did you see somebody posted on Facebook, and it was this article about how your cat actually is trying to figure out a way to kill you. Okay? I hope it doesn't succeed. You know, what you love, what you hate. I mean, think about it. It's a tough list to come up with. You know, for example, you guys know this about me. I love the University of Tennessee. You know, I love Tennessee. I love Orange. You know, all my Penn State fans always say, you know, God is a Penn State fan because the sky's blue. I always tell them when God wants to do something really spectacular, it's a big orange sunset. Right? Right? I love Tennessee. I hate the Florida Gators, okay? And it's easy to use that word hate when I'm talking about the Florida Gators. One of my greatest days was when Steve Spurrier left Florida. The only thing that matched that is when he quit a few weeks ago, okay? I've just always, and then my daughter went and married a Florida Gator. I'm telling you, I would not have let it go on if I'd have known that before the wedding took place. What do we love and what do we hate? You know what? I think that is a good subject to think about in relation to God. You remember the campaign some years ago, the WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? We had bracelets, we had bumper stickers, we had all kinds of encouragement about how we could live life so much better if we would just get up in the morning and ask ourselves, what would Jesus do, and then strive to do that. We complicate life, don't we? We complicate faith, okay? But really, it's simplistic if you think about it. And I think that it's important to think about things that God loves, things that God hates. And then simplify our faith in Him by just getting up in the morning. So you know what? I'm going to love what God loves today, and I'm going to hate what God hates. I mean, the things that are from the very heart of God are going to be a part of my life. And the things that turn God's stomach, I'm going to stay away from. So today we're going to talk about what God loves. Next week we're going to talk about what God hates. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you remember what you were doing in August 1997? Long time ago, right? I remember specifically what I was doing in August of 1997. Because at that particular time, my mother was sick. She was quite ill down in Virginia. We were living here. I'd gone to Virginia to visit my mother. And I remember that I was on my way back home, 553 miles from our house here to my hometown in Virginia. And I was on my way home. I was by myself. I just left, you know, my mother who was sick. And so I had that on my mind. And I was on my way home alone in the car. And like always, I had the radio on and I was listening to music. And this song came on the radio and it caught my attention. So much so that after I listened to this song, I happened to look up mile marker 309. You think I'm making this up? Drive down Interstate 81 in Virginia, and at mile marker 309, you'll know what I'm talking about. As I went by that exit, and I was listening to this song, and as I got off to head north on 522 to come up here to Pennsylvania, I saw a shopping mall there to my left, and this song had made such an impact on me. I pulled into this shopping mall, and I thought, you know what? There's got to be a music store here. So I went into the shopping mall. I found a music store, and I bought the cassette tape. Okay? It's not been that long ago, right? I mean, that's how life changed. But I remember I bought this cassette tape, and I put it in. I listened to this song over and over and over again on my way home. And when I got home, I said to Arlene, I said, "Sweetheart, I found our anthem." And I played the song for her, and it's been something that's been pretty near and dear to our heart, to my heart, ever since then. It was a song by country singer Clint Black. You remember him? He's not around too much anymore on the radio, but at that particular time, they were playing a lot of his songs. He was married to a gal from Hollywood named Lisa Hartman, and supposedly he wrote this song for his wife. I got a few words of it here on the screen. Look at this. Remember, it says, "I remember well the day we wed. I can see the picture in my head. I still believe the words we said forever will ring true. Love is certain, love is kind, love is yours and love is mine. But it isn't something that we find." And my wife said, "There you go. How about it?" I am a romantic at heart. I can't help it. I've always been this way, and it's benefited Arlene pretty well over the years, okay? But I remember hearing this song, and it literally just lit up in my heart. Love is certain, love is kind, love is yours and love is mine, but it isn't something that we find. Love is something that we do. Love isn't like falling out of a tree. It's not like falling into a ditch. It's an entirely different understanding altogether. And I think on that day, I think I just come to realize that, you know, love, you know, I always talk about when you were young, you always want to find love. Love isn't about finding someone. It's about becoming someone. It's about discovering what real love is in the context of our God, and then allowing Him loving us and how it gives us the power to love others. When you think about what God loves, it's all wrapped up in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave what? He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. You see, to understand love, you got to understand what love is and where love comes from. And you got to understand that God is love. And we can never demonstrate love for others until we understand how great God's love is for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." I mean, think about this first for a minute. Whoever does not love. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing to think that we live in a world where an awful lot of people don't love? Where people actually hate? I mean, I don't know if you've watched the news the last couple of days, but our news is full of people that just are full of hatred and evil. And while it's hard to think about living in a world like that, we have a world like that. And think about it. Whoever does not love, what's he say? Whoever does not love does not know God. Think about that, folks. If we don't love the way God wants us to love, maybe it's because we don't know Him. Why? He says, because what? Because God is love. So if you're here today and you don't love, maybe you need to ask yourself, do I know God the way that I should know Him? Because if we love as God loves us, then that is the true definition of love. This became really kind of true for me yesterday. And let me just give you a little synopsis here. Yes, and I saw Tessa and Drew right here. Tessa and Drew's little boy, Logan, okay? One of the cutest little kids ever. Yesterday was his first birthday party, and we came up for this. And Tessa and Drew invited us and lots of other people, and they had this theme of a sporting event. And they said, "Wear your jerseys." So everybody came in their jerseys. Now, you think about it, the Russells, all right? So 9 out of 10 people had on Penn State, right? Okay, so everybody had on Penn State jerseys, which was kind of cool. But then, is he here? Don McLoone, no, he's teaching this service. Don McLoone walks in his Philadelphia Flyers jersey. okay? And in unison, everybody in the room was like, ah! And all of a sudden, people were talking about killing him, about ripping the shirt off of him and burning it, or whatever. It was just amazing how the whole atmosphere in the room changed when one of the enemy walked in, okay? But what was really cute was how Tessa described to me that little Logan had on a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey, but then halfway through the party, he took it off to reveal his Penn State jersey underneath. Okay? Divided loyalties, I imagine. All right? But isn't it amazing when we're around things that we love, things that we care about, things that are so meaningful to us, and then something is interjected into the room that we absolutely despise? You see, that happens to a lot of us a lot of the time, to some of us almost every day, and I think that range of emotion is caused by our lack of understanding of what real love is, because whoever does not love, I mean, it's hard to imagine that there's people that don't have the capacity to love, but it's true. And if we're like that, think about it. The people that we see in the world that do not have the capacity to love, you know what you always notice? They don't know God. Because if you know God, you understand that God is love. So here's what I want to do today. I want to take a few minutes and I want to answer for you and with you this question. Why is it so hard to love? Why is it so hard to feel God's love? Why is it so hard to be guided by that truth that if we don't love, it's because we don't know God, and if we don't know God, it's because we don't realize that God is love? But once we realize that God is love, that the very reason that we exist is because of His love, and the very reason that we're here is to demonstrate that love that God has given to us, to others, then life will be so much, so grand. It'll be so wonderful. It won't be about whose presence that we're in that we love, or what situation we're in that we hate. It'll be about just understanding that God is love, and that in spite of my sin, God has loved me, and that I can now enjoy life because of that. So think about this for a moment. Why is it so hard to feel God's love? Well, let me give you some maybes. Maybe it's simply because we have experienced God in the way that He's wanted us to. I mean, maybe it's simply because we're not seeking Him. We're not devouring His Word. We're not putting together our hands in prayer the way that we should. Maybe we don't feel God's love to the extent that we know we should, and we know that He wants us to, simply because we are not seeking Him. Listen, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you know it. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, I think our pursuit is out of order there. We're pursuing all these things. You know, we want the latest and the greatest. You know, sometimes I think we're like me. I have a 65-inch high definition television in my basement where I watch football and everything. And then I see a commercial that they've got an 80-inch ultra high definition. You know, how clear do we need to see the facial hair of these players that we're looking at, right? You know, we have this pursuit of the next thing, of the bigger thing, of the shinier thing. All the time God is saying, listen, what your pursuit should be about first is about me. And guess what? If you seek me, and if you seek my kingdom, and if you chase after my righteousness, everything that you need will be given to you as well. Hear about this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Three words. Number one is conform. Number two is transform. Number three is renewing. Think about it. He says that do not conform. In other words, don't take the shape of your society. Don't take the shape of your culture. Don't allow culture to dictate who you are, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. And so much of the time, folks, I think about it. We desire to conform rather than to be transformed. You know, sometimes I think that we don't understand love because we're not pursuing God the way that we should. We're not seeking Him first. He's not the top of the priority list. He's somewhere on down the list. And we think because He's on the list at all, that is enough. So do you know love? Do you understand love? I mean, why is it so hard to feel God's love? Well, maybe it's simply because you're not seeking Him. Or maybe it's because we don't love like He loves. I mean, maybe it's because we're not reacting to the situations around us the same way that He would. I love what 1 John chapter 4 says in verse number 10. He says, this is love. Think about it. You're talking about what God loves? He says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, the very existence of Jesus in the New Testament is he didn't treat people the way that religious people responded to them. He treated people differently. He loved them. He encouraged them to live lives of faith in God. If you're going to live like Jesus lived, we've got to love like Jesus loved. And maybe if some of us are here this morning and we're not feeling it, we're not understanding God's love, we're not seeing that, it's not a part of our daily life, well, maybe it's simply because we are not loving and caring about other people in the same way that Jesus did. You see, that's a question that you and I need to ask ourselves all the time. Are we treating people the way Jesus did? Or is it something different? You know, it's amazing to me when you think about Jesus and how He loved people. There was never strings attached. You know, it was never if. It was never because. It was always just that He loved them. And He wanted to share the love of God with them. But so many times I think today, you know, we come with strings attached to that love. For example, I should have gotten this picture for you. I could have dug it up. But my son-in-law sent me a picture of my grandson Jack, and I think you know what I think about my grandson. I mean, wow! If I'd known these were, you know, these grandkids are just awesome. Anyway, I won't go there. But my son-in-law sent me a picture of Jack, and he had a Florida Gator hat on. And I'm telling you, It just incensed me. I lost my mind momentarily. I went straight to Amazon.com and I ordered him a University of Tennessee hat and a toboggan and a sun visor, so he'd have one for every season of the year with University of Tennessee blazing orange, and I shipped them to him. And I sent it to Jack Warren in care of Mark Warren. That's his father. Okay? I mean, what is it with me that I'm serious? When I saw him with that little picture of his little Florida Gator hat on, it really bothered me. Now, God spoke through my wife, Arlene, and she said, honey, come on. I said, what do you mean, come on? Okay, this is serious stuff. You know, if our children all of a sudden worshiped the devil, wouldn't that concern you just a little bit? I mean, it's absolutely amazing how we do that. And you know, and when okay, so then I go to my daughters and my son-in-law's there, and I could just tell, you know, he was just wanting to talk about it. He was just wanting to bring it up, and I just didn't. I just wasn't going to go there, you know, because I knew that I couldn't overcome this. I don't want to use the word hatred because I'm really making fun. But you know what I'm saying? It's hard to just all of a sudden love something that you really don't like. And sometimes I think when it comes to the world, we have that same kind of problem. We don't love like God loves because we don't have that kind of love within us. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son and atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Maybe it's hard to feel God's love because we're not loving like He loved. Or maybe, and let me give you one more here, and I think this is probably the most difficult one to overcome. Maybe it's hard for us to feel God's love because we feel unworthy. We believe the lie of the devil that God really doesn't love us as much as He says. And that we don't deserve His love. And that in any minute He's going to swoop down upon us and take everything away. And He's going to tell us that He really doesn't love us that much. And all of a sudden we're going to be held accountable for everything that we've ever done wrong. A lot of times I think that we don't feel God's love. We have a hard time feeling that love because we just have this unworthy way of looking at our own particular situation. May I remind you this morning of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, listen, as seekers, as believers, embrace that passage this morning, that God demonstrated His love for you, for all of us, that while we were still sinners, which we still are, Christ died for us. Christ did not die for us because we deserved it, not because we were worthy of it, but because simply that God is love. And the reason that we were created was so that God could lavish that love on us. How about Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? I love this. This is the NLT. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. Let me tell you something, folks. The demonstration of love is mostly about time and attention. It's mostly about time and attention. So think about it. If you're not experiencing, if you're not feeling God's love, if you're questioning whether or not you're worthy of God's love, if you have some questions about your life and how you demonstrate that love to others, maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, God, I understand that You love me, but I have such a hard time loving other people. Do you know who these people are and how they live? I mean, if we're in those situations, and most of us are in one degree or another, we just have to come and understand that, listen, it's all wrapped up in realizing and understanding that love is not something that you find. Love is a person that you embrace. God is love. So how do we live a life where we can feel that kind of love? Well, I think it all starts with seeking Him. With seeking Him and understanding that when we seek Him with our whole heart, that we will find Him. That the pursuit is not about all these things, but the pursuit is about Him. And when we pursue Him, He has promised that we will find Him, and then we'll get everything else that we need in life. Or maybe if you're here today and you don't feel God's love, maybe it's just all about that you are failing in showing that same kind of love that God has shown you to others. And what we have to do is we have to step back and we have to say, listen, God loves everyone. God is love, and God wants everyone to know that love, and He's going to use me to share that love with others. Don't lose sight of the fact that the Bible says that the world will know that we're believers by what? By our love. For who? For each other. That how I demonstrate love to others shows that I really know what love is. Matter of fact, the Bible goes a step further and says, you know what? If you say you love God, but you don't love each other, then you really don't know Him. How can you say that you love God when you don't love others? You know, how do you say you love God whom you can't see when you don't love each other or others whom you can see? See, folks, it's all bound up in this understanding of who God is and what He wants to teach us and to show us in life. But you know what, folks? It really all comes down to the fact that we need to understand that when you're talking about what God loves, we need to realize that He loves you and He loves me. I mean, first and foremost, that's what He loves. Matter of fact, let me share you another line from that kind of cool song. Clint Black says in that song later on in the verses, he says, "It gives me heart remembering how we started with a simple vow. There's so much to look back on now. Still feels brand new. We're on a road that has no end. And each day we begin again. Love's not just something that we're in. It's something that we do." So you know what, folks? I know that I'm probably talking to some people here who have lost love in this world through broken relationships, other things. I know some of us, maybe all of us, in somewhere or another, we feel alone and abandoned by death and by those that have passed on. But I'm here to tell you and encourage you with this fact that if you feel like that you have lost love, or that love has left you, or that love has passed you by, embrace this three-word truth that can change everything, in that God is love. And if I embrace that truth that God is love, and then I seek Him the way that He wants me to seek Him first, not on down the line, but I seek Him first, then that love that I gain from Him will make all the difference in the world. If by seeking Him, then I then love others as Jesus loved them and as He loved me, then I can add to that understanding of what love is. And if I overcome and fight the lie of the devil that I am unworthy of that love, because real love is not about what we do in response to that love, but it's about this wonderful thing that someone loves me and cares for me unconditionally, then we can get beyond this earthly, humanly kind of definition of love. And really that it's the understanding of that is bound up in realizing who God is and what He's done for all of us. Because then when we go there and we go back and read the beautiful verse that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life, we can then know that that is love, and that it can change our world forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I praise You for this beautiful day that You've given us. God, it's amazing to think about what we love and what we hate. It's so easy, Lord, to talk about the things that bring us joy and then the things that we despise. But Father, may we go beyond what we love and hate today to understanding love from Your point of view, to understanding that You are love, and that You call us both to appreciate that love and to show that love to others. So Lord, may we accept Your love that has no strings attached, and then may we live in that love and offer that same kind of love with no strings attached to a lost and a dying world. And Lord, right now, as we share together this awesome song about how you are alive and how your love is alive in us and how it can be alive through us towards others. Father, may we be encouraged to seek you, to love as you have loved, how you have loved us. And then, Lord, to overcome that feeling of unworthy, how we are unworthy to receive your love. And understand, Father, that love is exactly what you are. And may we share you with a lost and dying world, and a world that needs to be changed by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy. May it be so, Father, as we sing together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.